coming to you from 6 feet above Toledo, Ohio, at Studio One. This is the Do Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe. Studio One, you like that? Makes it sound
like
more
it,
like we're more professional.
We're so professional. I don't know why. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see. I'm looking out your window as we're podcasting, and I was like, why is everything fuzzy? Yeah, it's been one of those type of days. So how was your week, Joe? What's new? What's exciting? What were you up to?
I got sunburned.
Oh.
So over the weekend, I went to the Detroit Oddities show.
How was it?
It was awesome. There were so many people there.
And, cool stuff.
Oh, I saw a guy walking out with a buffalo head. A real buffalo head. I mean, it was almost bigger than he was.
That's crazy. Did you see any brains?
They didn't have any brains.
Oh, thank God.
A lot of skeletons. Mm-hmm. A lot of good vendors. I mean, the St. Booths were there.
Oh, nice.
Got to say hi.
Hi, Chris and Rachel, if you're listening. We love you.
Someone I haven't seen in a long time, Mark Arminsky, was there.
Oh,
he's an artist.
He's talented.
He is known for doing the playbills.
Mm-hmm.
The concert posters for the Doors, the Stones, all of them.
He's out of Detroit.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Really nice guy.
Super nice.
Other than that, though, I mean, just every vendor you could think of was there.
That's cool.
It was fun.
I would have liked to made it, but I had other plans.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I came home Saturday night and did stuff around the house, but then Sunday, went back up north, went to the air show in Ypsilanti, Michigan. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then went out on the boat with Dana until the sun went down and we were all fried.
Nice. I spent all day Sunday at the hospital.
Yeah.
All day.
But Dad's out again, so he's doing a lot better.
Thanks for all the prayers, everybody, because it worked. You know, it was a rough weekend, but he's home. He got to have his Arby's sandwich. He was very happy about that. Didn't eat the bread.
No?
No. Can't eat it.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, no, just, yeah, just crazy week. I helped one of my friends, my wifey, Sarah, my good friend. We went and did an investigation of a girl who was having some issues in her apartment.
Oh, really?
I don't want to give too many details because, you know, it's...
Oh, it was a private investigation.
Yeah,
so
I'm not going to tell you where, who, or anything, or, you know, what circumstances was.
It was in Bono, Ohio, folks. And if you want to go over there, it's the third apartment on the left. And no.
But something really, really wild happened. So we went outside to take a break. Sarah was smoking a cigarette, and I was just getting some fresh air. And she's like, oh. So she had her phone in one hand and her cigarette in the other. And she's like, oh, something's grabbing my back. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So she's like, it burns. Pulled her shirt up. She had three huge scratches across her. And I showed you the picture,
yeah.
Right? Three huge scratches across her back. It was so scary. I'm like, holy crap, what are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that was crazy. And I saw a shadow figure in my house.
Oh, really?
A little one by the floor.
Okay.
And I saw it twice. So I'm like, okay, I'm either cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or there's a shadow figure in my house. Which Victoria, one of the psychics we had on the show, Victoria Kempton, she said that I had something in my house that was non-human. I got to get rid of it.
Oh.
I'm like, eviction notice.
Did you mention that did you see a little person, like a little boy or something in your house? Or was that someone else?
That was somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't keep them straight anymore.
Who was that?
Dana saw a little boy in her house.
Again?
No, just that one time. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
And she wants us to get up to the tattoo shop and do an investigation at the shop.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do it to it, Mountain Dew, because that place, man, that basement, there's something in that basement.
Yeah, there's a spot where the ground is dug up, and I always said that's where they hide the bodies.
And it's a well. Looks like a well.
It probably was
like
at one time.
Bobby Mackey's well.
Yeah, it was probably, because that building is the oldest one in Whitmore Lake.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a cool old building, and if you guys, you know, are in that area, stop and get a tattoo, man.
Heck yeah. Some
tattoos. If not, go to Ann Arbor, to Dana's other shop, the Lucky Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous tattoo artist there. They do great, great work.
And she's one of our sponsors for our Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention.
So that's so exciting. We're starting to get some sponsors in and vendors, and it's all coming together. I'm excited and nervous about it. But it'll be great.
You know what? It's going to be a fun time. we're only going to have about 35 or so vendors. It's a smaller one, but we're really picking some good quality vendors.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And
no Amway.
No Tupperware at this one. Yes. Sorry, kids. You know what? Our topic today kind of encompasses the area that we're in.
Yeah, like we said on last week's show, we were going to talk about Dog Lady Island last week, but I just didn't have enough info on it. And I really didn't want to go in just guessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to find out some solid stuff. And we found a lot. There's some really interesting things that happened there.
So if you guys are from around the United States or here locally, you know, so we are on Lake Erie. It's one of the five Great Lakes. So Toledo sits right on the shores of Lake Erie, and we're just at the base of Michigan. So, you know, we could throw a stone and be in Michigan, not too far from Joe's house. And but just about 20 miles north of Toledo, if you go up 75, there's this place that, you know, just has this local legend wrapped around it. And it's just fascinating story of what has happened out at this island. Now, I'll give you a little bit of the background. So originally, the island was purchased as a small parcel of land back in the early 1800s, right? So settlers in, Detroit has been, it's like 313 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been settlers in that area for a couple hundred years.
Well, plus one of the big things is Monroe was the War of 1812.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see anything about this island about the war, but you know they had to have
gone through there
and either battled or camped there, because the whole area of Monroe is basically a whole area is a battlefield.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just such an interesting little area because it's such a small town. It's a small little town, right? Like, you know, blink and you miss it. But it has such a valuable part of our history here in the Midwest. You know, General George Custer is from Monroe. And they have a huge statue. And I think there's a little small museum.
There is a museum. And it's supposedly very haunted.
And your dad wants to go there.
Yes.
He's been dying to go there because he was in Custer's regiment. So, like, when he was in the Army, his regiment was named after George Custer.
Okay. I was going to say, what?
No. Like, you know how they...
Yeah.
That was his original, you know, troops. And then they name it. And, you know, as the different years go by, they keep it. But anyway, so he always mentions that.
Okay.
So, Monroe. Okay, so this island, if you go up 75, it's just off of East Dunbar Road and I-75. So I-75 is a major thoroughfare that goes from the top of Michigan all the way down to the Key West, right?
Which we will be going up the top of Michigan.
I know.
In a couple weeks.
Oh my gosh.
To Monroe, almost a Monroe Paracon. To Michigan Paracon.
Yeah, that's exciting. So back in the 1800s, this family, it was undocumented, but they purchased the small parcel of land. Originally, they were farmers, but they wanted to turn it into a religious retreat for young women. Okay, so the farmers eventually sold it to this Cosler family. I think I'm saying that right. And they built this grand home on the island so they could have this retreat for, you know, women. So I'm thinking it's some kind of like convent or nunnery or something, you know,
nunnery. We say that all the time.
I know. Probably get in trouble with the nuns. You know, it's very rare to see a nun anymore.
I know.
You know, especially with a habit.
You see
on.
None of them.
It is, oh, God.
I had to. Oh, I had to.
I'm dying. I'm just going to die and haunt you all.
So anyways, go ahead.
Sorry. All right. I'm going to get back to my story. So it is interesting, though. So when they bought the island, they renamed it after themselves, the Cosler Island. So they moved to Monroe in the 1930s and then changed the name of the island. Over a couple of years, it had changed hands throughout the family. And for a while, it was a pig farm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it stopped being a, you know, like a retreat for young religious women. They used it as a garbage dump at one point and a commune. I think that was probably 60s to 70s. But, you know, throughout it all, the inhabitants generally were known to keep to themselves. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember when we were teenagers and there were the legend of the waterheads?
Yeah.
That was up that way.
Yeah.
that road. Mm-hmm. Like you went, the legend was, this is a legend, right? That he went down this road and this family of waterheads lived up there, which I don't even know what that means, right?
Giant heads like Stewie.
So that's it.
But that was
dumb kids, man.
But that was one of the legends, and yeah. It was on that area. And, mm-hmm. and that the island was part of that legend.
Yeah. So throughout the years, most of the people lived on that island. They said that they kept to themselves. They rarely came into town. And, you know, one by one, they either moved out, they died, or they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting thing about that is there was one lady, they say, that never left. So this is how this legend of Dog Lady Island had come about. So local lore tells us this, that there was a feral woman who remained on the island. Her only company was a wild pack of flea-infested mongrels, dogs, that would viciously attack anybody who tried to come on the island or anything that came on the island. There was a lot of reports of animal carcasses, deer carcasses, raccoon, that kind of thing. So she had at one time lived on there with her husband, but he passed around 1961, and the house mysteriously developed a gas leak and burnt to the ground. Now, that's one of the rumors, yeah. Right? There's several different ones. So people around the town, that they would whisper that the dog lady would tear up and rip up dead animal carcasses for her packs of dogs. They were possibly Doberman pinschers, but who knows? They could have been coyotes for all we know, right? She would growl at teenagers who would try to, you know, cross the causeway and maybe try to turn it into like a lover's mm-hmm. lane or something like that, you know, and of course people just trying to get a glimpse at her.
Yeah.
Right. So during the 70s, some strange things had started taking place there. Teenagers would sneak over trying to, you know, for unsupervised drinking, smoking some doobs.
Yeah. It was a party place.
You know, doing other things. My mom and dad called it necking.
Yeah.
Canoodling, right?
Yeah, that's what I have down here in my story. I have
tell everybody a little story.
Well,
there.
I did find some stories of, like, in 1976, a couple was canoodling when all of a sudden they heard a strange screeching sound that sounded like a dog, but almost like a wolf howling, but it was more of a screech, and they saw a figure running on all fours up to their car. It jumped up on the hood, was howling like a wild dog, but they said that it looked like a crazy woman on all fours. She started scratching the car. So, you know, they tore out of there, and she actually was, they said that they actually said that she was on the hood for a little while and then finally jumped off.
Oh my God.
As they reached the causeway,
I would freak out.
But in 1977, there were two more accounts of the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm. That was party time, man, back in the 70s.
Yeah, you know.
Smoking some dubs, listening to some
shrooms,
8-tracks, and going out to, like, party on the island.
But tell me a little bit about the actual lady herself that was supposedly on the island. Because, you know, I read these stories about these people that are, you know, making out on the island. And seeing this woman or this crazy, they keep saying that she's on all fours. She runs on all fours and mm-hmm. howls like a dog.
Yeah. And, you know, they were saying that, like I said, she lived on the island with her husband until he passed away. They said that she was kind of like dehumanized. She was running on all fours with this pack of dogs, snarling at people. You know, teens out there claim that she had a telephone.
Okay.
And sometimes people knew her secret number, and they would dial it up, and then it would be answered by an outburst of weird growls. They said the phone number was circulated in the area, and if you supposedly called the dog lady, she would answer herself, right?
Yeah.
And they would call up just to hear the little old lady who, you know, would try to muffle out like a hello. Which is so sad. What if they were just calling some lady sitting in her house in Monroe and just like, is this the dog lady? But anyways, there was an article in the Monroe Evening News in 2016, which included an interview with a doctor. His name was Daniel Campora. He was an English professor and folklorist at the University of Toledo, which is, you know, here in Toledo. Duh. And you know.
Jen, where is that located?
I don't know. I went there for many years and they got tens of thousands of my dollars.
Yeah.
But I did pay off my student loans. It took me 12 years, but I did it. We can all relate, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy says, this doctor said that he learned of the legend in 1978. An old woman had lived on the island many years ago. Her husband died, surrounded with herself with Doberman pinschers, which I wonder where she got them. She'd have to go in town to go get them unless she was breeding them.
Probably breeding them.
The dogs were there to protect her, but one day they turned on her and they ripped out her tongue, leaving her incapable of speech and partially blind. So she became the dog lady because of that legend. He also said, understandably, she became a recluse and liked it that way. So she developed the habit of jumping onto cars of anyone who dared park near the island. He also claimed that later murdered by members of a motorcycle gang, and the gang had become the new occupants of the island. Then they allegedly.
Okay.
Kept Dog Lady's body in a coffin on the island, which is kind of weird. And then, you know, stories just continue now that she haunts the island because of what they did to her. You know, some people said that she could only grunt. She sounded like a dog and she was even eating off the ground like them, which is really sad if that is true,
mm-hmm.
that anybody would have to, you know, live like that. I mean, I know people choose to live differently, but you know me, I have a strong cause for the elderly and that they need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So they don't come back and haunt us.
There's been several teams that, paranormal teams, and there has been several teams that I have talked to about Dog Lady Island last week, because some people come up to me that, but they, all of them say they don't want to be mentioned,
mm-hmm.
or I should say all of them, it was really only two, but yeah. They don't want to be mentioned on the shows, but they did say that they snuck onto the island last year, and that's why they don't want to be named, because mm-hmm. they trespassed. And
which we don't recommend.
Yeah, I know. I told them, I'm like, why'd you do that? And they're like, well, we're having fun. It's like, okay, whatever. But they claimed that they saw shadow figures. They claimed that they saw shadow figures. They saw orbs. Visual orbs, not with mm-hmm. cameras. They actually saw orbs. They got some great EVPs, you know. And I asked them, I'm like, well, can you share them with them? And they were kind of hesitant because they broke onto the island, which don't do it, especially now, because now it's a resort.
Yeah, now you can go out there.
You can rent it.
Did you ever drive out there with your jet ski around that area?
Probably. But I don't know.
Remember that island you left me on when, okay, so Joe and I went jet skiing, right? Uh-huh. And we were in the, I don't think it was Lake Erie, but it was around.
It's called the Cut.
The Cut.
Yeah.
And I got a rock in my prop,
uh-huh.
and the jet ski stopped. And we were on this little tiny island. I'm not kidding. It was like 5 feet by 5 feet.
Yeah.
And Joe didn't have a tool, so he had to drive back to Cullen Park, which is probably, what, a mile, 2 miles?
Probably 2 miles.
2 miles away. And I was on this island, I'm not kidding you, by myself for like, what, probably an hour while you went
probably
and got
this.
Probably
10 minutes.
It felt like 10 hours. No. There was not one bird in sight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a fish, a bird, another boat, another person. And it was kind of getting a little scary. And then I, I was just like, was he coming back for me? I was starting to get a little panicky, but like, I kept thinking, I wonder if that was around that area.
It could be. I'm looking at the map right now,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I mean, it's close. It's, I don't think it was though.
Okay. Good,
because
I don't want any
the way
wild
that
dogs to get me,
the way that this is, I'm looking at the map right now and it's by Sterling State Park, but it's on like an offshoot that ducks in. And now that I think about it, hold on 1 second here. No, it's not. Okay. I was thinking it was where I ride my bike, but it's actually on the other side of the expressway.
That's so interesting.
But there have been a lot of weird activity that has gone there. Other teams that I talked to say that they saw spectral dogs and heard barking.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm like, now, show me the evidence, people, and they wouldn't do it.
Oh, gosh. You know, it would be so interesting mm-hmm. to go out and be able to just take some photos and stuff because, you know, we did that show on black dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's some type of paranormal activity and she was tied to those dogs, they're probably with her, you know, in spirit. So,
you know, and I was just thinking, if you could, you can rent this island now for parties and stuff. So why couldn't we rent it to do a paranormal investigation?
Let's ask.
Yeah.
Let's ask him. It's really interesting that to have this local legend so close. And I know that there was, you know, a movie made.
I saw that
locally about it. I think I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try to find it and watch it and see what kind of take they take on it. I'm sure, you know, they have artistic license and it's a movie, you know, it's not real, but I just think that that would be very interesting, you know, like to be able to see, you know, go out there and see what we get, whether it's in the day or, you know, in the evening. But I'm wondering if you can access it by boat.
But it's private property.
Yeah.
And just like the team I was talking to, it's private property. And if you get caught out there, you're trespassing.
Yeah. I got caught on one of those back roads one time. My boyfriend and I went out necking. The police pulled up. What are you doing? Nothing. I think we had like a Sun Country wine cooler in our car. But yeah. Yeah. That area back there, I think a million people went back there and tried to be like cool and slick. And nobody's going to see us back here.
We're just
making out. Kissing. But
do you have any other stories about Dog Lady Island?
So I found a story.
Okay.
It was written anonymously about something that happened in the area that kind of leads and adds to the legend of the Dog Lady. So I'll just kind of like paraphrase it for you or, you know, give it to you guys here. So in 1943, there was this is young man's telling, his grandfather was 18 years old. And he remembered the event like it was yesterday. So there was a hitchhiker walking through Monroe on South Telegraph, and a car with four young men pulled up and offered her a ride. So it was a female hitchhiker. She accepted, but it was the worst mistake of her life, right? So they kept her restrained in an old shed on this island and raped her repeatedly for 2 weeks. After the second week, they returned to use her again, but she wasn't in the shed. So they searched frantically for hours until they found her on the other side of the island. Fearing going to jail, they chained her up inside of the shed and continued to abuse her, you know, week after week so she wouldn't escape. Now, the rumor says they cut her tongue out and smashed her ankles so she couldn't walk or scream. So, you know, they said that they abused her, and they abused her with dogs as well. And, you know, that she had become pregnant because of the abuse or whatever.
Okay.
The abuse stopped, and the young man left her and her baby for dead, never returned to the island, except for one of the dudes. Secretly supplied her with food and water and even built her a small shelter for warmth in the winter months. Eventually, years later, the mother died and the young, hairy, disfigured girl remained on the island. Now, they're saying she's like half-breed, half-animal, half-human, which would never happen. Come on, people. But, you know, people have gone looking for proof on the island that she existed, but in reality, there's only two type of people who had, you know, seen her since the birth was the mother who died and then this man who had kept coming to the island. And so eventually the old man passed away and the grandchild carried on his commitment to Dog Alien Island.
A whole other story there.
So, you know, basically they're saying she's like 72 years old and still lives on this island. And I don't know.
Well, because she can't now because it's owned by completely different people, and it's a resort, so people would still see her if that was true.
Yeah, but you know, it's just crazy that people make up these, you know, some of these legends. They're just so far-fetched, and you know, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. But you know, there could have been some, you know, recluse who lived on the island at one time. And
well, that's what I feel it is. I think that the whole story of this was the family lived on the island. The last survivor of that family was just a recluse or whatever you call it, who lived on the island, had some dogs, and the story starts from there.
Yeah. Just interesting. I'd like to get up there. There's actually another little island next to that island. Now, let me see on the map here what it looks like, Dog Lady Island. Oh, I see. Like, it almost looks like a little pavilion or parking lot or something.
Yeah, that's why I say it's a resort now.
Oh, Foley's Island is the other one. But yeah.
Matthew Foley.
It doesn't look like there's any gates or anything. So
there is. Right at the beginning there, there's a sign and the gate. And like I said, you can rent the island now. So maybe that's an idea, Jen.
Yeah, maybe we
don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody.
Nobody tell anybody.
All right.
Especially, you know, somebody who's listening to this who steals all our ideas. But that's okay. karma. All right. So anyways, it's interesting, this Google Maps type thing there. There's a little, it almost looks like a swimming pool.
I know. I can't tell what it is. Mm. We're just going to have to go there. We're going to have to rent it out and go there. But
almost looks like you could jet ski up to it, but I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll land my helicopter there. Yeah, just I just love these little local legends and tales from the crypts.
But we know how, you know, and we love legends, and we, you know, like with the Bone House, we know a legend has started there, and that's how all these start, is you hear one person tell a story, then another person. And like I said, I think that the whole thing of this island is the lady lived on the island with her family, they became recluse, and the legend started. People go to the island to see her. She gets mad, tries to get people to off of her island.
Yeah.
And the stories just go from there.
I think you would get some probably really cool EVPs if you got over there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'll take my
vote. Well, like I said, you know, the people I talk to, they trespass, so they didn't want to be named. But, you know, it's just like anything else. The legend did... The spirits come there because of the legends, or did the spirits develop there of the legend?
You know, being that it's a little tiny island like that, and it almost, you know, kind of in the middle of the river type thing, half wonder if that wasn't Native American at one point.
I'm sure it was. Like I said, they're up in that area. They were Native Americans all over there. And then during the War of 1812, everything went right through that area because the battlefield is only a mile away.
Yeah. Interesting. There had to be something going through there.
Now, I don't know how true it is, but there's other parts of the legend that say she is buried in Monroe in, what's the name of it?
It's Woodland Cemetery, which that's one of the legends, is that Woodland Cemetery, they see people see ghosts.
Yeah, one of the haunted cemeteries of Monroe.
Yeah, and oh gosh, I don't know if we've been there. Have we been there?
I have. Okay. But at the time, I was just going to see the stones. I didn't know anything about it.
Mm.
I didn't. Yeah, you know, it was back when I wasn't really into the ghost stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like tombstones and was driving through.
Well, it sounds like a road trip about to happen, right?
Yeah.
It's
15 miles.
Yeah, and what's going on too? Like all of a sudden, I'm getting all these hits about you're famous. You're famous. The video about Gibbs Bridge.
Yeah, I saw that.
As like all went viral, and I'm like, people are like, you're famous. I'm like, not really.
I am.
But Joe is.
Yeah. I actually had someone up to me at the Oddity show and said, hey, man, I love your show.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, and whoever you were.
I don't know who it was. Yeah, I should have, my voice just squeaked.
Okay, Peter Brady. Yeah, it's... It's always fun, like, you know, people who come up and say they enjoy the show, you know, that's cool because it just, you know, reiterates that we're reaching out to people and touching people's lives and just bringing you guys some entertainment. So, you know, keep on listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and as you listen to this on Sunday, yesterday, we did our speech at the library, which I'm sure is going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
We're recording this on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The speech is on Saturday, and then you're listening to this on Sunday, so...
It's future, man.
Yeah, the future like past.
Time
It's our
travel.
Future, their past.
That's cool.
But, yeah, that's one thing in part of our speech is how do the paranormal podcast bring value to the paranormal community? And that's just it. We get the stories out. We try to teach people stuff, you know. We're learning as we go also. And
every day I learn something new.
Yeah, to have someone come up and, you know, say, hey, let's listen to the show. That means a lot because we do put a lot of work into this. It's the
Joe does.
It's the 1-4 rule.
It's long for the ride.
1 hour of show is 4 hours of editing.
Exactly. But you know, we enjoy what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we're not making any money at it.
No.
But you know, if you do want to support the show, you know, and you enjoy what you hear and you want us to continue, definitely just share our Facebook page with your friends or just let them know you listen to the show. Or, you know, I always post the episodes on our Facebook and on Twitter. You mm-hmm. can always just, you know, retweet the shows or share them with, you know, the Facebook post with your friends. Another great way to support the show is come out to our Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference October 12th at the Knights of Columbus Hall here in gorgeous Toledo, Ohio. Terrific. What's a good word? Tantalizing, Toledo? Know.
But we got
something. We got to think of a good one.
But we have some great speakers, world-known speakers.
Yes.
Ken Gerhardt, who's at TV. He's on TV, folks.
Yeah.
He's a bigger celebrity than me.
No, but, you know, you've heard him on In Search of Monsters, Monster Quest. He's been on A&E, Travel Channel. Yeah. He's traveled the globe. He's not just some guy getting up doing a speech. He's been out in the field for 20-plus years researching cryptids. Yeah.
And he's one... sorry.
Go ahead.
He's one of the nicest guys you're going to meet.
Super nice.
You'll be able to come up and talk to him at the convention. He will talk to you.
He'll be there all day.
Yeah. And so, and also we are still, there's a few vendor spots open. So if you want to be a vendor, get a hold of us. It's good up on our website. I have all the information. Just click on the Bigfoot Convention. All the information is there. I still don't have the hotel information. I'm working on that, but you know, we got a couple months. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely we would love, you know, to have, if you're an author or a, you know, some kind of Bigfoot researcher or you sell Bigfoot merchandise, paranormal merchandise, you know, definitely looking to fill a variety. Give our, you know, attendees a variety of different things to come and learn about and purchase.
And if you want to just come out, we do have a ticket link on the website.
Yeah, so we are selling pre-sale tickets. You know, one of the benefits of buying your pre-sale ticket is one, you don't have to stand in line when you get there, although you do to get a wristband. But
it's a lot faster.
And you get some raffle tickets for this giant goodie basket full of Bigfoot and paranormal treats.
Worth over $10,000.
Millions
of
dollars. Yeah, right.
No, but it will be worth hundreds of dollars. Yep. So
yeah, definitely it's going to have some cool stuff. I'm adding to it every day. I'm finding all kinds of cool stuff online, and it's going to be fun.
I'm working on some really good door prizes and stuff like that. So you may leave with more stuff than you paid to get in.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that is October 12th here in Toledo. Get up on our website. There's a Bigfoot conference link on our website. Just click on there, and I'm adding information every day. So yeah, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have tons of fun. You're going to be able to talk to a lot of people and some famous people in the paranormal community and the Bigfoot community. So yeah, we're going to have some great speakers that, like I said, you can talk to them. They're not going to, you know, some of these conventions you go to, you can't talk to the speakers, but at ours you will. So anyways, thanks for listening this week. We will talk to you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Like we said, share the show, folks, please.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all. There is something I have to tell you. Can't explain the way I feel inside. Twisting for my brain among other things. I can feel the sliver in my side. I'm lost without you. Through the struggle.